Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome back into the playbook. Patriots.com radio. Nitpick Tuesday. I'm John Rook. Gosh, actually good to be back in here. I haven't been back in the studio in almost 2 weeks because of the traveling, the holiday. By the way, a belated, very happy Thanksgiving to you and to your families, and I hope that the holiday season has started out on a positive note. Aside from football. Aside from football, I know that it was a good football day. It was a great football day for me. Great football day for me. Number one, Longhorns beat the Aggies. How can that not be a great day? Right, strippers? Right? Unbelievable finish, right? Number two, Cowboys actually had a come from behind win. I was happy with that. So,
how about you, Cowboys?
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. Appreciate that. The only thing that would have made it better is if the Patriots had played and won. But, of course, we didn't really need that. I was in the air for most of the game on Sunday, coming back from my basketball trip to South Padre Island, Texas last week. Got back in time to see the fourth quarter. It was already, I believe, 31-13 when I landed. But I did have the game DVR'd at home. My kids are great, so they took care of me on that one. And I haven't seen the whole game, watched it. Ready to discuss it here in Nitpick Tuesday. Now, that being said, though, there are some other things that I think that are a little bit larger issue, or at least not necessarily a larger issue. Let's just say that, to me, it is an issue. Because the Patriots now are 8-3. They are tied for the best record in the AFC, as I know most of you, many of you, certainly you should be aware already. You've got Pittsburgh, you've got Houston, and you've got Baltimore. All three at 8-3, and the Patriots come in as well at 8-3. So right now, there's a log jam at the top. There's no room for a misstep. That, in and of itself, should keep the Patriots motivated during what is admittedly, and we talked about this early in the year, didn't we, kids? This is admittedly the Patriots' weakest part of the schedule, the stretch run. When you look at the opponents, the quality of the opponent, the one loss record of the opponent, all except Denver, losing. So, someone asked me yesterday, a friend of mine asked me yesterday, so how do they stay motivated? And I said, well, because they're in a, steel cage death match for a number one or a number two seed. And I realize that there are many of you, and we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this over the course of the next month or so. So we don't necessarily have to jump into it today. But there are some of you that don't advocate for having the week off, thinking that, this team needs to have momentum behind it because it's lost two, its last two first-round games that they've played in the playoffs. And I understand the thinking behind that. But I think all things being equal, and we have discussed this a brief amount this year, you still want to have two games to get to the Super Bowl rather than three. So you're looking for that bye in the opening week. And the only way that you get the bye in the opening week is you have to be either the one or the two seed. So you've got to finish with the best record or the second best record in the league. Now, the Patriots are certainly in the mix. And because of the teams that they have left on the schedule, you'd have to say that they have at least an equal, if not better, opportunity than the rest of their opponents. Now, we can kind of break this down a little bit and look at the other contenders. And again, I think this will be something to do for subsequent weeks because we may be looking for things to talk about by this time next month, to be quite honest with you. So I'm going to kind of put that aside for now. Although if you have some thoughts on the schedule along those lines, you can certainly drop me a note or give me a call. But what I want to know is that based on the remainder of the schedule, and I put this up on Facebook earlier today and would love for you to chime in on it. With the exception of Denver, which comes up in a couple of weeks, which remaining opponent has the best chance to deal the Patriots a defeat? With the exception of Denver. And I'm removing Denver because, number one, I know Patriots fans are aware that Denver has traditionally been a difficult place to play. They lost the last time they were there. And that when Denver was wearing those just god-awful, butt-ugly uniforms, throwbacks, the Browns with the vertical stripes. Do you remember those, Kevin? Those were hideous. I can't even believe
they
looked
like prisoners almost.
Yeah, they were the most hideous things I think I've ever seen a professional sports team wear. They're just so hideous. I can't even believe that those were actually a uniform back in the early days of the AFL. Nevertheless, they wore them. So I'm removing Denver because Denver's the one that has a fighting shot here. Denver is right in the thick of things at 6-5. They're a game back of Oakland in the wild, wild AFC West. Looks like that's going to boil down to a two-team race right now. I'm ready to remove San Diego. North Turner looks to me like he could be the next candidate to be ousted because there was a firing in the NFL today. I'll get to some of the NFL news in a minute. But it looks like it's going to go down to Oakland and Denver. Oakland has a one-game lead. Denver is going to be playing for their very playoff lives, which means, you know, Tebow or no Tebow, it's probably going to be difficult. It's probably going to be difficult when they go to Denver. So I'm going to remove that one out of the equation. This team is 8-3. 5 games left. Take Denver out. That leaves 4 opponents. Of those remaining 4 teams, and that starts this weekend with Indianapolis, of the remaining 4, which team has the best chance to beat the Patriots? Email us, webradio@patriots.com. You, of course, know the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Again, 508-298-0398 is our telephone number. Hit me up on Facebook. The name is John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you are not a friend, you may submit the friend request. We will answer that. Then you may post. You may message. You may chat during the program utilizing the chat mechanism on the Facebook page. You can also follow me on Twitter, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. At JRook, 0722 is the Twitter account. And we do tweet once or twice a day. Not a lot. Don't like to clutter the inbox. Like for it to be meaningful. I also tweet on other things, NFL and college basketball and college football, because it's what I do for a living. So I don't try to, you know, kill you with, you know, multiple tweets. You probably have that already in and amongst those that you follow. But those are the ways that you can interact with the program here, Patriots Playbook. What do you think? I'm kind of thinking, you've got Indianapolis, then you have Washington on the road. Then, of course, you have Denver, and I'm kind of removing them from the equation because I already think that one will be difficult just from the very nature that Denver is going to be in a playoff chase. Unless they fall flat in the next 2 weeks, I think Denver will be right there. So I'm removing Denver because I think Denver would win this discussion, you know, hands over fists. I think Denver would win. So I'm going to take them out of it. And then you have Buffalo and Miami. My own thought is that of the 4, it's a little bit of a difficult call, but I'm going to take the Washington game as the most difficult. Number 1, because it's on the road. Number 2, just because I think Buffalo and Miami, I don't know what their incentive is going to be over the last couple of weeks. Buffalo maybe more so than Miami. But I don't. They're clearly not the same team, and I also believe that the Patriots will be ready for a little payback because of what happened earlier this season. So I'm leaning towards Washington because it is the Redskins. It is Mike Shanahan. I think he is still capable at times, although I question a lot of the personnel they have there, and it is on the road. Now, before I get to some calls here, want to make sure you guys are up on the latest news that the Indianapolis Colts today did fire defensive coordinator Larry Coyer with the team at 0-11. And so Jim Caldwell, the head coach, who's probably under fire himself, I would think, with or without Peyton Manning, fact is that, you know, he is, I'm sure he's been told he's got to do something to shake some things up if he wants to have a chance of holding his own job. I really believe that the Ursays are going to give him, that, you know, Ursay is going to give him a pass on this year because you don't have Peyton. I also believe that now that there are a couple of games in front here in the, number one pick sweepstakes, that, yeah, I still think that, Luck is going to be the guy. I don't know how he can't be. I also believe that they will look to trade Peyton Manning to a potential contending team that's willing to take Peyton, damaged goods as he may be. I think they'd be willing to take him for a short-term 2 to 3 year fix while they nurture and bring someone else along. I definitely can see the Colts do that. I can see that scenario. You trade Manning. I don't know what you get for him. Is Manning worth a number one? Probably. Is he worth more than a number one? Probably. Will they get that for Peyton Manning? No. He's still damaged goods. But it'd be interesting to see how the Colts approach it. Now, if the Colts decide they're going to stay with Peyton, then Caldwell's got to go. He's got to go. I don't know who's going to make that call, but somebody's going to have to go. What are your thoughts on the Colts firing Larry Coyer, the defensive coordinator, and announcing that Dan Orlovsky, the Polish rifle from UConn, is going to start at quarterback, replacing Curtis Painter here on Sunday afternoon? So that's the latest from the Indianapolis Colts today. I wanted to kind of jump into a little bit of Colts talk, in addition to nitpicking on the on the Eagles' win, 38-20 on Sunday. And the reason I'm doing that is because my own plans this week have been thrown a curveball. I know, it sucks. What can I do? So my travel agent has moved me up because I have college football to do Thursday night in Tampa, Florida, a de facto Big East championship game. And so because of that, I've got to fly out tomorrow afternoon right in the middle of the show. So we've got some alternative plans cooking for tomorrow. So I also wanted to jump into a little bit more of the next opponent today. That's the reason behind my jumping into the Colts a little bit today, more than we normally do on a typical Nitpick Tuesday. I do have some nitpicks that I want to share with you as well from the game on Sunday. Honestly, nothing huge. But I do want to share some things with you. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's say good afternoon to Derek, our buddy at the University of Arizona. What's up, man?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. What's happening today?
Just kind of going through everything, man. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was excellent. Spent it covering college basketball and spent it with my basketball family in South Padre Island, so that did not suck.
Just like how you would want it.
Kinda. Yeah, kind of. But it was good. I mean, you know, you missed the kids and such at that time. But, you know, they were well taken care of in their own respective rights. So I had a chance to enjoy the day. I hope you did, too.
Yeah, no, I did. And I hope everybody out there also had a good Thanksgiving as well.
Amen.
To answer your question, yeah. I was leaning towards the Redskins.
Yep.
Like you, you know, they do have some, they can make plays. I mean, they're a really weird team.
Yeah, weird.
They kind of remind me of Seattle, which ironically played each other last week. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like 1 week they show up, and the next week it's like, you know, they're the worst team in the NFL.
Right.
I don't know. It's really weird. But, I think I'm going to lean towards the Dolphins, though.
Okay.
And I actually just found out as an early Christmas gift I'm going to that game, which I'm really excited about.
Sweet. Now, you're going to come visit us in studio, right?
Yeah, no, I have to. I think, Kevin, I don't know if you're there, but I think I'll be able to come the 29th.
Okay.
If you guys are doing regular programming a couple days after Christmas.
I think we will be there.
Yeah, we should be at that juncture.
I think we will be. Yeah.
Just Facebook me.
Yeah, I will. But, you know, so I'd hope to come visit you guys, talk in the studio. And, so I'm going to the Dolphins game, and that one's, I'm kind of leaning towards that one, although it is at home. You know, so
right.
Like you said, the Washington game is away, so that makes it difficult. But
right.
I just think that the Dolphins are playing better, and you know, it's a division game. You know, maybe it's towards the end of the season, and hopefully, you know, complacency doesn't take effect for New England. But you know, that does happen.
Well, so, you know, I hope that the complacency thing is taken care of by what I alluded to just a few minutes ago. The fact that this team is going to be in a steel cage death match for a bye. You've got four teams tied for two spots now in the best records overall.
Right. So
I hope that will serve as enough momentum to go out there and take care of business starting this Sunday.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm pretty sure as it stands now, I don't think they control their own destiny for the one seed. I'm pretty sure even if they win out, as long as Baltimore wins out, they beat Patriots over, because I think they beat the Steelers, and I don't know, it's kind of a confusing situation, but they're in the mix. They're in the mix.
I think with both Baltimore and Pittsburgh, the Patriots need some help. So you're right.
Yeah.
If the Patriots win out, no, I don't think they control their own destiny. They still need some help. But we've got 5 weeks left to go here. That's an eternity.
But it's not only about, obviously you don't want the team to get complacent, because you are fighting in that steel cage death match that you alluded to, but
right.
Really it's about getting healthy at this point too, because the Patriots have been going through a terrible injury bug, and it's really come to the point where now James Ahedebo, who you and I talked about, I know Kev, we all had kind of an animated discussion earlier in the season about whether he should be on the field. I'm now holding my breath when he goes down with a shoulder injury. It's an interesting situation.
Right. Right.
But for the nitpicks, for the Eagles.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think?
First off, the big play is early. I mean, the Eagles are an explosive team. And right away, a 58-yard bomb from Vince Young to Riley Cooper.
Yeah, that killed me. That killed me. I knew that the Patriots had won the game. Like I said, I had to watch it on DVR. But I still came up off the couch on that one. I could not believe it. Yep. I mean, as much as I love Vince Young, but yeah, I got to tell you, I'm like, what the hell?
Well, I'll have a question on Vince Young for you in a second. But I mean, the big plays was really the only real nitpick, because I think the Patriots got lucky a little bit with LeSean McCoy. I like Andy Reid, and I think he's a good coach. But I think LeSean McCoy is such a great weapon. The NFL's leading rusher, and he had 14 touches. He had the ball. He only got carried the ball 10 times, top 4 passes. It's like, the way I see it is, people were talking about, whether the Patriots defense contained him or stopped him.
Yeah.
They did an okay job. He broke free a couple times. But to me, it seems like, the Eagles put their safety on their own weapon.
Yes, you know what?
Patriots defense, dodging a bullet.
You're absolutely right, Derek. What happened is that the Eagles played right into what the Patriots wanted them to do. The Patriots wanted Vince Young to try to beat them. And that's exactly what the Eagles tried to do. They tried to go up the field thinking that, okay, well, we can beat the Patriots this way because we know they're going to be geared after McCoy. When all along, if they had just gone with McCoy, I think the Eagles probably controlled the tempo in that game a lot better and maybe have an opportunity.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have Vince Young throwing 400 yards, which is probably one of the biggest, misleading stats we've seen in a long time. Like, true misleading stats for this defense, but I don't think it looked like that. But they threw 48 times. And, obviously you want to take advantage of a weaker or vulnerable, Patriots secondary, but, he had some inaccurate passes. He had some beautiful throws, too, that, DeSean Jackson and him were not on the same page, and, Jackson had a pretty deplorable day, but
he's a bum.
It was an interesting situation.
DeSean Jackson's a bum.
He's a punk. The kid's insanely talented, and
he's very talented.
He needs to grow up, but
very, very talented. I'd love to have him, but he's a bum.
Yep. No. Well, you might get that opportunity if he does not resign. But
well, I would be all for that, because I still think that the Patriots, they take a shot at some of these guys. We saw it with Haynesworth. It's a great example. Didn't work out. Guess what? Where's Haynesworth now? Not here. So the Patriots.
It would probably be a little more expensive than acquiring someone.
Sure, it would be. Sure, it would be. But I am not scared. I'm not scared away from anybody, and that includes T.O., by the way. Not scared of that.
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up, but now that you did, what are your thoughts on that?
Go get him.
Were you? Because to me, Taylor Price is now, and I know people love him. I know Andy Hart loves him.
It's crazy. Why? Why do we love a kid that we've never seen? That's the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, I don't know. I really, really liked him coming out.
Why? What have you seen him do, Derek? What have you seen him do? What has anybody seen him do?
When he came out from Ohio, obviously, just the way he caught the ball, I just thought he had the potential to be a deep threat. We saw him flash
really
early in a couple games.
Yeah, by the way, Ohio, not Ohio State. Okay,
we're
talking MAC football, not Big Ten football. There's a difference.
Did I say Ohio State?
No, I'm just saying. Uh-oh. You said Ohio, and I said, yeah, that's right, Ohio, Ohio.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. That's fine. And I understand. It just seemed like he had the skill set, I should say, to develop into an okay, into an okay receiver that had a chance to become a deep threat, which everyone was clamoring for, including myself.
Yep.
Okay. And we saw him flash early a couple times, but to me, it's a really, really bad sign, and I'm sure you'll agree. If Jaquan Underwood can get signed and then get snapped, and Taylor Price does not even see the field, you know, it's just like at this point, all Taylor Price hope is gone. It's absolutely gone. Ocho Cinco, I had really good expectations for him. You know, those are gone. I still hope he does well, but I have a feeling he might make a play or two later when we need him, but I'm not expecting much more. But this team needs to have a third receiver at some point, besides the tight end, besides Branch, who disappears at times, besides, Welker. We need this team to have someone who can beat, one-on-one matchups.
Absolutely.
Because that's why Ocho was brought in, to beat one-on-one matchups.
Absolutely. I agree. I think, if there really is, interest, what the heck? Do it. What the heck? Because clearly they don't have any other options here. And I agree with you. That just gives more teams. I mean, you gotta pay attention to the guy. If anything, he's a hell of a decoy.
You're right. I mean, the defenses the Patriots have been seeing are not going to go away, because now everyone knows they're going to press. They're just going to play a lot of man, a lot of press. And, the receivers and the weapons of the Patriots offense are going to have to beat that, one way or another.
Right.
And last year they couldn't do it against, the Jets.
Right.
And I'm just hoping that, something has to happen. Right now Gronkowski is literally undefended. You just cannot defend the guy. He's just a monster playing at some other level.
He's having an all-pro year. There's no question about it. I don't care if he's just a second-year guy. He's the best tight end in the game right now.
Yeah, right now I would be I'm right with you. Him lockstep there.
Yep.
So my other question is, how do you think Vince Young played on,
I thought he played okay. I don't think he had a whole lot of help from his receivers. I think he had probably, between 450 and 500 yards if DeSean Jackson hadn't been such a putz. But, frankly, I understand why the knocks, there are against Vince Young. There's still a little bit of a hitch in his throwing motion, but that's just who Vince Young is. I think he's reluctant to beat teams with his legs now for fear of the criticism, and that's not what his coaching staff wants him to do, although clearly I saw opportunities for him to make gains with his legs against the Patriots, and he stayed back in the pocket. And he might have done that for self-preservation. It's possible that he did that for self-preservation, so maybe he's learned. I don't know. But if you're all about trying to win a game, and you're all trying about winning a job back, which, of course, he still wants to do. I'm sure that Vince Young feels like he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he may very well be when you consider some of the guys who are out there. I mean, you don't think the Houston Texans wouldn't want to have Vince Young right now?
Oh, my God,
are you kidding me? So I'm just saying, or how about the Colts? You think the Colts would like to have Vince Young right now? Of course they would. So, I mean, he can still start given the right situation. And I'm thinking, hey, if you engineer a win over the New England Patriots, then, you're going to get people to stand up and pay attention. And I thought, even though he threw for 400, which is a career high, you're throwing it against the statistically worst secondary in the league. So I kind of overwrite that. But I also think, dude, you could have done a little bit more. I just thought you could have done a little bit more, and maybe that's just Vince Young's lot in life, that he's always going to be thought of as somebody that could have done a little bit more. I mean, he did all he could do in that national championship game against USC. That may have been the single greatest college game I have ever seen in my life, and the single greatest college performance that may have ever occurred in the history of college football, what he did against Southern Cal in 05. But it just hasn't translated to what people thought it could translate to in the NFL. And I'm not sure why exactly that is.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. But, I'm with you. He's played, obviously that was a great game. And I think he did play pretty well. I think he had a couple, especially for some reason, it seemed like on the screen passes or on kind of like the wheel route, kind of just really like around the line of scrimmage stuff.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like he had a lot of low balls, just kind of off to the side, wasn't really accurate there.
Right.
But, there were some spots that I'm sure he'd like to have, some passes he'd like to have back. But, overall, I thought he played pretty good.
Right.
But if you remember real quickly before you let me go, I had said a couple weeks ago that when we talked last, that as long as this Patriots defense, as long as they held opposing teams to about 20 points,
mm-hmm.
I was feeling better, about the team moving forward. And right now they're 11th, if I'm not mistaken, besides last night's game. I'm not sure if they might have changed. But they were, at 20.3 points a game. And I think they are improving. And I want to see if you think the defense is improving. And do you think that when they get guys back in Chung, McCourty, Spikes, you know, do you think this team can improve a little bit more? Because, you know, we saw them make some plays, you know, not really, you know, they got beat and they gave up some yards, but they were very good on third down. I think it was like 4-for-11 or 4-for-13. You know, on third down.
Yeah, right.
And they've been good in the red zone pretty much all season. So when they get these guys back, you know, what do you think? What do you think this defense can go?
Well, do I think they can get appreciably better? Maybe a little better. I think having those guys back will certainly give them better depth, and that should help them a small amount. But I don't think this team will be a heck of a lot better than what it is now. By this time of the season, you're 11 games, 12 weeks deep into the season, you know what you've got. The only way that teams get appreciably better at this stage is through attrition from the other teams, in my opinion, which means the other teams have to suck a little bit more, have to lose guys with injury or whatever, and that's going to make you better. I also think that statistically speaking, you'll see the Patriots begin to improve because of the caliber of competition over the course of the last month. In other words, you might actually see the Patriots move from 32nd and dead last in passing yards allowed, you know, off the bubble. It's possible. It may not happen.
Well, especially when you're playing backup quarterback.
Right,
for the next five
right,
weeks.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's possible. So let's take all this with a grain of salt. You know, again, the two stats that we need to watch are third down, opponents' third down conversion and opponents' red zone conversion or Patriots' defensive red zone. Those are the two numbers that need to be certainly in the upper half, but more appropriately in the upper third of the league. I'm talking top 10. And if those figures are right around 10th or better, then this team will have a defense that can be competitive, in my opinion, in the postseason. Not a great one, but a decent one to where at least you can make a stop every now and then hope that the Patriots don't have an off day on offense, because they must be on in order to beat teams in the postseason.
Yeah, they have. I mean, the offense has to play well. You know,
no doubt.
This team is an offensive-driven team, no question about that. So
right.
Let me ask you this then. Do you think they can beat any team in the AFC?
Yes.
Any team to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
If the defense is competitive and the offense doesn't miss a step?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
I really do.
I absolutely think so, too.
I'm not sure how they do against the Packers or the Saints. Those two teams will worry for the NFC, but we wouldn't see them until way later.
No, that's true. But then again, you're in a neutral game, and, I would say, that's we're jumping way ahead of ourselves. But, you know, I would
we
say
are,
that
we are. I don't want to get too ahead. Well, like you said, I think this defense can become competitive, and I like what I see from a lot of the young guys. I think that, you know, when some of these starters come back, you know, maybe they've gotten some more playing time and it helps them long term.
Right.
My only real thing is I'm hoping that we get our starters on defense back for the last couple games so they get some cohesiveness and play together a little bit more going into the postseason. But, you know, I think they're doing a lot of good things right now. We've seen improvement, which is always a good thing. And, you know, it's another great win for the Patriots this last Sunday.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you next month, Derek. Have a good one. All right, Derek at the University of Arizona. Tim sends this in via Facebook. He says, can't see anyone on the remaining regular season schedule giving us any problems, and that includes Tebow's Broncos. Nobody remaining has an arm to test us defensively. Can't believe the Pats lose any other way. Question is, how does the secondary get better without being tested by quality QBs in game situations? You know, that's a sort of a chicken before the egg type of thing, Tim. I think the guys who are out there playing now, with the guys who are hurt not playing, McCourty and Chung, for instance, can only get better by repetition. So I don't know that it's a question of, you know, quarterbacks, you know, testing them, quality QBs testing them in game situations. I think any game situation against anybody is going to test them. It could test them more severely if it's a good quarterback. But I think, you know, just the fact they're going to be out there getting reps is going to help. And so, therefore, once you get the injured players back, your depth should be better. That gives you more options then in terms of nickel and dime packages and showing, zone and maybe even doing some blitz, which we haven't seen a lot of from the secondary. It can only help. He says, does the same newly bargained limited practice ruling apply for playoffs as it did for the bye week during the season? You know what? I'm not entirely 110% sure of that one. I'll see what I can find out for you. Let's get back to the phones. Eldridge. Oh, my goodness. Eldridge is... Eldridge, the wrong button just popped up and right in the way because the screen glitched. My apologies. I want you to call me right back, Eldridge, because you were on hold for so long, and do not take it personally. And when you call back, I will pop you right onto the show. My apologies profusely. Let's see if the same thing's going to happen with Kat. Kat, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Kat, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did. It was a little warmer, so I appreciate that. It's cold here right now.
Awesome, awesome.
So I had some thoughts on the Colts, you know, being as I just spent all of Thanksgiving with my Indianapolis in-laws. So.
Yeah, sure. Oh, wow. So let's go then on the Colts. Let her rip.
Yeah, I would be really, really surprised if they let Peyton Manning go, if they trade him or, you know, any other way. I think he's going to stay in Indianapolis. And I think that the fans are hoping that they draft Luck and then Peyton stays for at least another year playing so that he has a chance to kind of learn the system and get used to things. And then I think they're hoping that Peyton ends up as offensive coordinator or, you know, eventually head coach. I think that knowing how people feel about him in Indianapolis and all the stuff that he does in the community there and how attached they are to him, mm-hmm. I just don't think it's possible that the organization lets him go.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I don't think they will either, but it'll be interesting to see how they play it out because, quite frankly, you know, they've got to come now to a fundamental decision. A, you know, am I going to keep my job if you're looking at it from, you know, Caldwell's point of view?
Right.
And then B, you know, we're 0-11, and, you know, we only know, you know, Peyton's only going to be around for another couple of years, and he's going to be done anyway. So, you know, are we rebuilding, or can we still win next year is what the Colts have to be saying fundamentally. And if the answer is, I don't know, then they've answered the question. If the answer is, I don't know, then that means they need to go ahead and move to the future.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that they're going to look at, I mean, I don't know, they should look at this as rebuilding because, honestly, Peyton being out has only exposed the other flaws. And personally, I think they should get rid of Caldwell, too, because, I just don't think he's done that
he
much.
He won on Tony Dungy's coattails.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And so far, in the past couple of years, their drafting, they've really needed to kind of replenish their offensive line, and they haven't been able to. Their guys that they drafted, like they drafted Tony Hugo, who should have been starting, and he's not even, I don't even think he's playing anywhere now. They cut him, and I don't think he got picked up. And he was a first-round pick, I think, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Costanzo?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even really look that great in the game that they played this week. So I'm feeling like, I don't know if, I'm not sure if everybody's looking at it the same way, but they have a lot more problems than just not having a quarterback right now.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the reason why Larry Coyer, their defensive coordinator, was fired today.
You know, but that's the part that I don't understand. If they're going to fire someone, fire the offensive coordinator.
Well,
I don't know.
That may very well be happening, but I think they felt like they would appreciably be better defensively than they have been. And so, they're using the offense's excuse as no Peyton. Okay, so
yeah,
that's a pretty easy sell-off right there.
Yeah, but it's not true is the problem. I mean, even when Peyton was healthy last year, there were a lot of problems with that offensive line. Their tight ends, Dallas Clark is good, but how long is Dallas Clark going to be around for? They have good receivers. Well, they have two good receivers, right? They've got Garcon and Reggie Wayne. But besides that, I mean, they're pretty shallow. They don't have a lot of depth on that team. If something happens to Pierre Garcon or Reggie Wayne, and they struggled with that all last year, you know? So, to me, I think they have a pretty good defense. Granted, you know, this year I actually feel a little bit bad for the defensive coordinator because I'm not sure what they thought he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is on the field all the time.
Right.
You know, I don't know what people expect, but I feel like the problem with them is on offense and that they have to rebuild. So.
Yeah, I think the considerable problem is certainly you're correct about that. If I'm running that show, I have to admit, as much as Peyton has meant to me, you have to look at the long-term view, and I'd see what I could get for him in the open market. I mean, if you take your number one pick that you're going to get and could get another one, or maybe a one and another one somewhere, and build that way through the draft immediately, I would think that'd be very tempting, even if we're very close to still being a contender. Why? Because then you could turn a potential 8-8, 9-7 type team into an immediate contender if you're really that close, and you could be that back into the mix, almost like on the drop of a hat for making one move, and that is saying goodbye to Peyton Manning. See, but I don't think teams have the guts to do that kind of thing anymore because of the things you just said, Kat. That the fact is that that community is so tied into their identity with Peyton Manning is that there's just no way that that's going to ever happen.
Right. There would be a full-scale revolt. They would never sell any tickets. I think that would be devastating to the organization just because the fans would bail out.
Yeah.
They've done it before. I mean, you know, until Peyton came, it's not like those fans were very involved. So,
hey, I just got a Facebook message from Fabrizio who says, "How would you like if the Pats made a move in free agency for Reggie Wayne? What do you think about that?"
I think he's good. I mean, I think he's still got all of his tools and everything. I think he's still, you know, I mean, he's definitely a precision.
I would love that, but what can you sign him for? I don't know.
Right, exactly. I think as things have been going the past few years, I don't think that DeSean Jackson or Reggie Wayne or any of those guys are going to end up in New England just because they don't want to spend the money.
No, that's what I kind of think. That's why, you know, I think the short-term stopgaps are what you're more liable to see because that's really how this team has operated, which is also why I think that there might be some teeth in this whole TO thing. There might be.
I just can't get behind that.
Okay, fair enough. And again, I totally get it. I understand it. But I think there might be some teeth in it. And I'm just saying only because they just don't have any other options. And I think that they've realized that the only way now, you know, we're getting into a happy place with our defense. We know what we're going to have. We can see us getting a little better, certainly from a depth point of view when we get injured guys back. But in order to win this year, you're just going to have to outscore people. I realize that that is not typically the way you build a Super Bowl contender. But the game is not what the game used to be 10 and 20 years ago. And the Patriots feel confident they can win this way as long as they have Brady and the weapons that they have, and all they would be doing is bringing in another potential problem for a defense to have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. My concern is that I don't know how much we would – I mean, at this point, Tio will be lucky to sign with anybody, but I don't know how much we give up for him, and then I don't know what damage he can cause in the locker room. And we know, obviously, you know, we all think that's why they got rid of Haynesworth. But I'm just not sure. To me, it's more of a gamble in terms of the mindset of the team than it is, you know what I mean? It's a trade-off. I just worry that before too long, especially you get him and Chad together, and I don't know.
Right.
Well,
we're going to find out. We're going to find out, Kat. We're going to find out.
I know.
All right, so what do you think about the question of the day then? Of those two teams left, which one is the one that scares you the most?
You know, as strange as it sounds, I think for me it's probably the Broncos. It's not like you get to practice against that kind of a weird, tricky, you know, offense like that all the time, and so I'm just worried that some of these more inexperienced guys and younger guys, granted, they are closer to being, they've been in college defenses, you know, against stuff like this, I guess, more recently than a lot of others. But I'm just worried that it's going to be too much of a switch for them, and they're going to,
And I think that makes sense. Number one, it's Tebow. Number two, because of the option offense they run, which, frankly, I love the fact that Denver's doing that because it's different. You don't see that in the pros. But I want you to remove Denver from the equation for a minute because, frankly, I also believe that Denver is hands down the toughest team they got to play. But of the other four that are left, which one do you think will give them the most problems?
I'm not that worried about any of them, to be honest.
Pick one. Get off the fence.
probably the Redskins.
Okay. All right, and I happen to agree with you.
Yeah.
All right, good call.
All right, thanks.
Kat, thanks. Appreciate it. Always great to talk to you. I'll break in a second because I owe Eldridge an apology. Sorry about that, Eldridge.
That's all right. How you doing, John?
I'm good, pal. Thanks for calling back.
That's all right. You had a good Thanksgiving?
I did. How about you?
I did, too, and had a better Sunday, though.
Yeah.
But better.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. What are your thoughts?
It's too bad, though. Eldridge's favorite Patriot, Tiguan Underwood, had a rough Sunday.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good point, Kev. What did you think about dropping the gimme there, Eldridge?
Like I said, I was happy when I saw him break open. When he dropped it, I jumped off the seat. I couldn't believe it. But then again, less reps, you know, I understand. But getting back to Price, I heard you earlier.
Yeah, go.
I think they ought to at least put him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, you know, I heard earlier show that, you know, Brady's yelling at him, the offensive coordinator, whatever. But some guys just do good on the field, playing, then practice. And like I said, Santonio Holmes from Pittsburgh, the same way the first year he came out. Second year, look at him now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the top threat in Pittsburgh right now because he's coming on. And T.O., much as I love T.O., because especially when we're with the Niners and the Cowboys, I don't know. I'd rather have Moss than have T.O. But if it's coming down to T.O., get T.O., drop Chad, because Chad ain't showed nothing in 11 weeks.
Well, I can't – you know, that'll probably end up being something done about that. I would say that would also be a likely change because he was a late scratch. You know, it was allegedly a hamstring, but I'd say that could very well happen. I'm not saying it's gonna because I don't have any inside knowledge on that today, but you kind of start drawing conclusions when you see things start adding up. And frankly, it wouldn't surprise me. I'll just put it that way. I don't know that it happens this week. It may not be until the last month of the season, might be the last few weeks, might be a contractual thing. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to work some things out, but I could see it happening.
I will try to get Moss back.
I honestly believe, I think that most fans would agree with you, Eldridge, but here's the problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, but like I said, Brady was talking to him during the preseason, and he's still in shape. He's still running that I heard of. No, you know, and I think he'd be a better asset than T.O. because he know the offense.
Well, that I agree.
Will respect Moss.
That I agree with you.
You know,
I agree with you. I kind of feel like, you know, hey, we just don't want to. I think it's a road the Patriots feel like they've traveled and they don't want to go down it again. So
Brady will welcome it.
What's that?
I bet you Brady will welcome it in a heartbeat.
I think he probably would, too. But I think what Brady will welcome is, you know, anything that'll give him more weapons on offense. And so if they're convinced that T.O. can pick up the offense or pick up at least a limited amount of the offense, more so than Chad Ochocinco did, then I think he would welcome T.O., too, as long as T.O. can contribute, keep his mouth shut, and play ball.
Yep. So that's one thing we would have to worry about, because knowing T.O., because I follow T.O. when he was with the Niners and all. You know, good competitor. He wants the ball. And once he's on, you know, he's hard to stop. He's powerful.
Well, the thing is, the question is, though, Eldridge, you know, mm-hmm. can he be the third option or the fourth option? If he's not willing to settle for being option three or four, then it ain't going to happen. Because
right.
we know that, you know, right now, you know, Welker is one and Gronk is 1A in terms of options.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Deion Branch is two and he may be charging hard for 1B. So, I mean, there are your three options right there, which are pretty good. And so you're going to be a fourth option at best behind those guys.
Yeah, that's true. But
let's not forget Aaron Hernandez too, by the way.
Yeah. Hernandez. Yeah. But that's from the tight end freshman. I can see. But if you're going from the wide receiver, I don't think Branch is better than T.O. at all because he can beat a one-on-one, can beat a double team.
Yeah, but Brady's comfort level with Deion is off the charts.
Yeah, okay? I know.
Off the charts. So believe you me, as long as Deion wants to stay in the game, he's got a place right here.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going nowhere. Nowhere. As long as Tom Brady stays in the game, Deion, you know, health issues aside, Deion will be right here with him. Those two guys are going to go out in the sunset together, I believe.
Okay, getting back to the other question you brought up.
Yeah.
Another 14.
Yeah.
Washington scares me a little bit because they got a defense and Rex Grossman. You don't know if you can get the good Rex one day and the bad Rex or whatever.
That good point on the defense, by the way. Good point on the Washington defense. I think they're capable.
Yeah, they're capable. And then maybe Miami, because the way they're playing now, maybe like they came on all of a sudden, like the light bulb went off.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I just think, you know, if they have absolutely nothing, which, you know, they really don't have anything to play for now, but now that they've, you know, had their three-game win streak snapped, and I think it just, you know, I think the, you know, the Patriots will have more to play for because they probably will need to win out in order to clinch a home field advantage. So I think the Patriots will have more to play for, and that's why I'd give them an edge over the Dolphins in that last game.
Okay. And one more thing about our defense. Okay, I heard about y'all talking about when the guys come back, and James Hedebo,
Yeah.
I hope he stays off the field. You know, Sterling Moore, I know you just came for a couple of weeks, and people on coverage a little bit too, but at least Moore is a hitter, you know. At least Moore will come up and put a hit on you.
Why don't you like Ahedabo? You don't think Ahedabo's physical enough?
I don't think he's physical enough, and he blows coverages a lot. And he's been in the league a little bit more than Moore.
Well, not a lot, and not a lot more. And plus,
not
he's,
a lot more.
But, you know, keep in mind now, he's a safety. So, you know,
yeah,
in terms
so,
of...
So is Moore. Moore's okay. a safety.
Right.
He got him a safety now.
So in terms of coverages, I mean, you know... there aren't a whole lot of assignments other than, you know, depending on what kind of, you know, defensive call there is. It's not like he has to man up with anybody specifically. His assignment is going to change almost from play to play or series to series depending on the other team's personnel.
Yeah, I know personnel, but I've seen tight ends run by him. I've seen backs, you know, he tried to hit and whatever, but at least I have seen more when they come across the middle.
All right, here's a good question for you then, Eldridge.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather have Mayweather back?
I'd rather have Mayweather back, Jared Page. I'd go get Darren Sharper if I have to. Somebody well, back there could play safety.
Yeah, but Sharper, apparently, that isn't going to happen because apparently his knee is done. So
okay.
That's
Page.
Why. Page, I can understand, and I know that there was some talk about possibly bringing him back too. But again, I think that's one of those, hey, we've traveled those road type of revisitation things that the Patriots don't like to do. And, you know, Ahedabo is still a young guy. And I think they feel like, you know, the learning curve is still there for him. Is he a perfect scenario? No. But I think it's quite interesting over the course of the last, oh, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, since Brandon Merriweather is gone, how more and more people have thought about, wow, I'd rather have Mayweather than what they have back there right now. And then when he was let go, I got hammered on this very radio program for liking him in the first place. Funny how this stuff happens.
Not me, because I was shocked because they let him go. I couldn't believe it. After they let Sandro, you let Merriweather go too? Come on. I was shocked because I didn't think Chung could stand up to the pressure,
yeah.
To be honest with you. I couldn't. And I still don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and like the other myth they said, Merriweather made McCourty look better. Look good.
Right.
And see, when he's gone, look at McCourty now.
Well, I agree with that. I think Mayweather, except for the fact that he just, you know, he still had a tendency to freelance a little bit more than the coaches liked him to do. They wanted him to fit into a system, and he grudgingly fit into the system, but he still took too much on his own shoulders, and I think that's ultimately what sent him packing. But his overall talent is still as good, if not better, than what they have. And if you are interested in proving the lot of this team and winning championships, then you still have to have players make plays. And that's one thing Merriweather could do. It's all water under the bridge now. He's gone. He ain't coming back. But I'm just saying, sometimes you don't know what you have until you lose them.
Until you lose. Because I don't remember seeing Hedebo making too many plays. Barrett, maybe before you got hurt a couple times.
Well, I'm willing to give Ahedabo. I'm willing to give Ahedabo a shot here. Okay, I'm not ready to sell him up the river just yet. I mean, he was a special teams guy, really, with the Jets. So, you know, this is his first extensive playing time in a defensive scheme. I'm willing to give this guy, you know, like a rookie. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, what do you think about Taylor Price then?
You know, I haven't seen him, and if you don't, if you can't see a guy, I don't know how you can make a judgment. If you can't see a guy because he's hurt, that's one thing. But, you know, even after so long, you still got to figure out a way to get on the field. He can't get on the field healthy, apparently. So if that's the case, move on. Next. Seriously. So.
Uh-huh. All right, John, it's been good talking to you, man.
Hey, Eldridge, always good to visit with you. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. All right, let's get the timeout in here because I know we need to sneak one in. Big Al, you're coming up. In the meantime, don't forget, you can ring us up right here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. You can also hit me up on Facebook, web radio at patriots.com, the email at jrook0722, the Twitter page. It's a Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Hour number two inside the playbook. It's been a busy Nitpick Tuesday. We're ready for a little bit more for you. Webradio@patriots.com. How you reach us via email. The Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Hit me up on Facebook or at JRook0722. Twitter. John sends this on Facebook. He says, John, on Sunday I was listening to pregame and Andy Gresh asked a media member who was the biggest disappointment this year, Haynesworth, Ochocinco, or Julian Edelman. Am I missing something? Edelman? A disappointment? No. He may have been, and again, I'm not going to speak for Andy, but he may have been referring to the off-field incident that Edelman went through, the alleged, pinch on the butt or whatever it was in a club. It was inappropriate. He shouldn't have done it. He obviously had to speak to the Patriots and, you know, Mr. Kraft and coaching staff and everything about it. But it's been sufficiently kind of swept under and we tried to move on from it. At least he has. So give him the benefit of the doubt. That may have been it. That may have been what he's referring to. Don't know specifically, but that may have been what he's referring to. Goodness, what happened here? Oh, my goodness. Come on. Seriously?
Are we having technical difficulties?
Man. Seriously? No, it's just something happened with Facebook. That's just, you know,
Facebook,
crazy.
We've noticed, John, especially like with the pregame social.
Yeah, what's happening?
It definitely has its moments where it's not exactly functional, which is, it kind of gives our boy Chris Ferreira a bad rap at times because people think it's technical issues on our end.
Yeah.
But sometimes Facebook can have problems independent of what we do here.
All right, it's back now. Okay. That was just weird. I think I caught it in mid-post because somebody was posting. And then all of a sudden, it just glitched and went off to another site altogether. But now I got it back. Okay, good. All right, it's back. All right, Cav sends this. Cavern in Gainesville says, John, let me start by saying I'm pretty happy with the way the team played on Sunday, so I'm not going to nitpick the team. My nitpick is with BB and Casario for not bringing back Jared Page. We're getting by against bad teams while Chung and McCourty are out, but Page isn't on a team and was good for us last year. Besides that, he has to be better than Ross Ventrone or Sergio Brown, but for some odd reason, Ventrone or Brown get a shot, Page hadn't been brought back in. Who knows? Page could come back and stink, but at least BB and Casario would have addressed an area that needs help, opposed to playing roster musical chairs with Ventrone. I'm not going to complain about the schedule because the way I see it, this defense needs all the game reps it can get before the playoffs start. I agree with you on Washington. They have an improved defense who can pressure the passer. Okay, good email, Cav. The only thing I can tell you about Jared Page is that there are a lot of things, and I'm not going to say specifically this was the problem with Page because, you know, nobody really knows for certain. But there are a lot of times when, you know, a guy comes in, it could be locker room chemistry, it could be the way he deals with his role, what have you. And then when somebody leaves, there usually is, there's a little something there. And maybe, just maybe, they've decided that because a guy like Ventrone, who I agree with you, it's a little ridiculous to see his, you know, game of yo-yo going on the roster, off the roster, on the roster, off the roster. But he's willing to stand there and take it because he knows this is his lot in life. And so if you're going to be a good soldier, and you're going to take that as opposed to somebody who's going to moan or complain or has something to say about that or who's going to complain that he's not getting enough playing time, who are you going to want to deal with? Now, again, I'm not saying that was the case with Page, okay? Not saying that. I don't know that that was the case with Paige. All I'm saying is that could be, that could be an instance for almost any player transaction you'd like to see the team make, and they're not making it, and you have no other explanation for it. These types of things are things that everyday people, fans, you don't see. Media people, they don't even see that. They don't even see it. Keep in mind now, we only get to see the first 5-10 minutes of practices, okay, that they allow the media to see, and then that's it. We're ushered out. Then they go to their game plan and they work, and nobody sees this stuff. Nobody hears the conversations between coaches and players. All I can tell you is that if you're on the same page, you keep your nose clean, you keep your mouth shut around here, you know, and you know your role, you'll play. The guess is that it just didn't fall into one of those particular items that I just gave you. That's all I can tell you, Cav. That's all I can tell you. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Thanks for hanging in there, Big Al.
Hey, what do you say there, John Rook? Happy holiday.
Same to you, pal. Same to you.
Yeah, this Ventrone kid must be getting a stiff neck from being, you know, jerked back and forth like this all the time.
Well, like I said, you know, he realizes that, you know, his opportunity to play at this level is probably a unique one. And because of that, you know, and he's got the ability to be placed back and forth between active roster and practice squad and being released. He understands that. He knows that this is part of the game. And he's willing to play that role. And my guess would be there are others who, you know, might be better fits, you know, talent-wise, but they're not willing to play that role. And so there you go. That's all I can tell you.
But to be honest about it, we should report that on the injury report, don't you think? Ventrone, stiff neck. You know, that should be on there. You know, like we used to do with
Ventrone.
Brady had the arm, you know, for all those years.
More specifically, whiplash, you know. He's got whiplash from jerking his head back all the time. I'm going, where?
That would be good if we put that on the injury report. I think that would be, you know, at least be, if that can be made into a humorous situation, that would be one that would be apropos.
You mean somebody would actually have a sense of humor, right?
I agree that Denver is the team left on the schedule. Of course, you know, this is what we fans and media people get to do. We get to play these games in advance. The teams and the coaches actually have to play them on the field one at a time, but we get to play them out in advance, which we get to do because we eat a lot of stale popcorn and drink a lot of watered-down beer, and, you know, we've earned the right to do this stuff,
I think.
That's what fans get to do. We don't have to worry about this one game at a time stuff like the team does.
Right.
So I would say that Denver is, you know, it's the altitude. Yes, the history of we've always had trouble out there. You want to go way back with the ugly uniforms? Yeah, we lost the first AFL game in the history of the AFL to Denver. It was at Boston University, but not in Denver. But they were wearing the ugly uniforms.
So
hopefully they're not wearing those.
I hope not, because that was really hard to watch. That was just so hard to watch. Not only was it, you know, it was just brown and ugly, you know, yellow, but the vertical socks have just got to go. I mean, that was hideous.
I like the mustard gold top.
I thought
the mustard gold top was okay. Everything else was kind of crappy.
Yeah, but with the brown? Are you kidding me? Really? The mustard gold with the brown?
Saying. I mean, maybe if there was some other way to... The jersey itself, if you could isolate that, which I know it's hard to do, but if you could just sort of isolate the jersey, I thought the jersey was kind of cool, but everything else kind of made it ugly, I guess, in combination.
Just hideous.
They've got a hell of a defense. I mean, they really do. And we were one of the places down here where... The CBS affiliate out of Tallahassee switched away from the Patriots game because, you know, when it got to be 38-13,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was time to move on. So we got the end of the Denver-San Diego game, basically the whole fourth quarter and the overtime.
Okay.
And they do have a hell of a deal. I mean, it's Duverville and Miller and Champ Bailey back there to back them up. I mean, they've got some players. And I think that's why Tebow has, that's part of the reason. Plus, he's developing, but part of the reason why he has such low stats is because he's protecting the football. He's putting the ball in places where only his receiver is going to get it, or it's going to be an incompletion. He does not want to turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
The one time they've got beat since he's been starting was against Detroit, and he had a pick, and he had a strip sack, which resulted in 14 points for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to protect the ball, and it's probably going to keep his stats artificially lower than normal, that they would be probably low anyway, but it's keeping him even lower than normal because he's protecting his defense. They've got a hell of a defense, John, and that's going to be our biggest test.
No question. There's no question, which is why I kind of removed Denver from the equation. I said, all right, you know what? It's already going to be a big test. So of the other four teams, who's still the toughest team?
Who of the other four?
Yeah.
You know, it might be Miami the last game of the year.
Okay. Why?
It might be Miami the last game of the year. Well, they've been playing better lately. They had that little streak of where they lost seven but won three, and they played awfully good on Thanksgiving Day. You know, really came within an eyelash of beating, America's team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, arguably should have won that game. Played good enough to win, put it that way. And if they just sort of keep improving, and, it's the same old, you're always, they say, playing for pride, but, it's playing for a roster spot for next year. You know, you're always on tape, and, it's the last game of the year. You know, if they catch a break in terms of the weather and they're not just playing in a swirling snowstorm, and having to fly into that from Miami would be kind of unsettling. But if they get a break with the weather, they might keep that game close. I think that probably would be other than Denver would be the, even though it's at home, I don't see the Redskins being much of a threat, to be honest. I just don't. And that's our other road game other than Denver.
Washington's defense does concern me a little bit.
Okay. How so?
Just because they are able to get after the passer a little bit. I mean, Brian Arakpo is a really good defensive end if you haven't seen him.
Right, right.
You know, he's one of the best out there right now.
Well, any team that can rush the quarterback, you got to be worried about.
Well, that's why Washington gets my concern in that regard. Yes.
Yep. I mean, we got a good offensive line but we seem to get into these streaks where Tom is, like I say, is either getting rid of it real quick because they're on him, or he thinks they are, or something, and we have a hard time protecting Tom. If I had a nitpick, look, I love Logan Mankins, but he's got to cool it. He's got to quit this pushing around after the whistle and getting penalties, and he's just somebody got to wipe the foam off that kid's mouth. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I like the guy, but you just got to relax and play ball. I think he's getting distracted out there, and one time against the Chiefs, I think they just rushed three people, and we whiffed on two of them.
Yeah.
And Tom got tackled back on, like, the 5-yard line. If you remember, that was 2 weeks ago. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's our offensive line is, it seems like we're streaky. You know, we go into streaks where Tom's back there, and he can have a Coke and a sandwich, and has all the time in the world, and then there'll be another parts of the game where he's running for his life. So I think we need, now we've had people injured and this is our third offensive center. So I mean, that's understandable that there'd be some continuity issues there, but
sure.
I think our offensive line is a concern, really, in terms of protecting Tom against these teams that have the really good rush.
Well, it could be, but then again, because of the injuries and because of some of the mixing and matching they've had to do, I think the offensive line has probably stood up about as well as you could expect it to, especially going through all the way to center number three on the season, which,
right.
It just goes to show you that, there's a reason behind the Patriots liking versatile offensive linemen, because they've needed to use that, and they've relied on that versatility this season.
I love this three-tackle rotation we got with the three tackles.
Right.
If we can keep that going, keep all those guys healthy, I mean, that really bodes well.
And, especially if we can start including Marcus Cannon in that rotation.
There you go. Yeah, he got a few snaps in there. I guess that was after we transferred to Tebow.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't see him play.
Right.
But fortunately, I do have that and I've looked at it a couple times. I have that archive service on the NFL website where they archive all the games.
Yeah.
So even if you get blacked out or whatever, or something happens, you don't see the whole thing, you can go on the website and watch the whole thing.
Oh, that's good.
And so I was able to watch the last 5 minutes on the website.
That works.
And it worked. It works out well. And got to see him. He did get in for, I guess, a couple of series there. down the stretch. So, that gives you some more depth in there. And I don't know if he – does he play more than one position, or is he a tackle, you know?
Well, he's primarily a tackle, but I think they also envision him, you know, playing some guard as well at some point. So I just don't know where that will work in. But I think, you know, again – any offensive lineman they go after, they're looking at playing more than just one spot, and they've asked that of just about everybody they got on the line.
Well, if they can get him to somehow play guard, he might be a nice replacement for Brian Waters. If Brian Waters is, you know, not getting any younger. I mean, I'm glad we picked him up, and that was kind of a surprise move there before the season to grab him. That was that's really worked out well. But sure. I think he's what, he's coming up on 10, 11 years, something like that in the league.
I think this is his 11th.
11th, yeah. So maybe the Cannon kid can slide in there for him, you know, at some point. But, you know, I really like the way the team's looking down the stretch. I think we could easily run the table. I think you're right as far as Denver is the place to watch. I mean, they've really emerged lately, and they've got something going on with this kid, Tebow. I know he's a lightning rod and everything else, but, you know, he's got that locker room. He just does.
Well, and that's all you need. That's all you need right now. You know, sometimes emotion can take you a little ways, and eventually you're going to have more than that. You're going to have to have some substance. But, you know, until you get to that point, you can certainly ride some emotion. And I think Denver has done that. And now, because they're, you know, playing in the division that they're in, you know, Denver has put themselves into a legitimate opportunity. And so that sometimes gets a lot of guys going the same way. And when you have that kind of thing going, anything can happen, and I think Denver is now a threat when you didn't think they would be.
Will you like me, John? You had the division leading quarterbacks out there being Tim Tebow and Carson Palmer before the season, right?
Yeah,
you predicted that.
Yes, I did. I did.
I called that all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said that the top two quarterbacks out there in the AFC West are going to be Carson Palmer and Tim Tebow.
No question. No question.
So you don't know what's going on in that division. But,
no, you don't.
Somebody's going to make the playoffs out there. I mean, it's the rules. You know, somebody's going to win that division.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We shall see.
All right,
anyway, John, have a great one. I'll call you next week, man.
Thanks, man. You got it.
Take care.
You too. All right. Big Allen, Valdosta, Georgia. Facebook. Zach says, continued defensive and offensive improvement despite injuries, and they recovered nicely from being down early by 10. Personally, I'm starting to like what I'm seeing at just the right time. Everyone carrying their weight and making plays when we need them. I think that's probably about as succinct a way as you could put where this Patriots football team is right now. Seriously, that's it right there in a nutshell, and in what, about 20 words right there. Continued defensive and offensive improvement despite injuries. Recovering nicely from being down early by 10. Starting to like what I'm seeing at just the right time. Everyone's carrying their weight and making plays when we need them. You could probably see the defense make a few more, but you can't really argue too much over the last few weeks, considering, you know, the players that are back there. You know, some of these guys are starting to make plays. I mean, Kyle Arrington's made plays all year. Is he the one you really want back there making plays? Well, he's all you got. So somebody, whoever's back there, whoever's out there, might as well make a play. And he has. And we bagged on a lot of guys. I haven't really bagged too much on Arrington this year, trying to consider, you know, who he is and what he's done and what he's meant to this team over the last couple of years. But it's hard to bag on guys that, you know, are beginning to step up. And I think it's probably because they're getting reps, because there's nobody else left to play. That goes for guys like Ahedebo, who, you know, I know a lot of people don't like. But, you know, again, you had what we thought was better, and then it was let go. And then now you got him in there. And so what the hell else are you going to do? I mean, this is what you got now. So you got to kind of write with him. John says, I'm not worried too much about Denver because of Bill Belichick. By the time we get to them, I have to believe that Bill will have them well scouted enough to figure out the novelty of the Tebow offense. Look, it's very simple, okay? An option offense. I used to run an option offense. Simple, me, option, yeah, goes in hand, right? You know, the quarterback has the read. The quarterback watches if you're let's see if I can try to describe this. I have to, you know, remember myself. Depends on how many running backs you have. I ran the wishbone. So my first read was always to what the middle of the line was doing, what the center was doing with either the tackle or the linebacker. And if there was a gap big enough for my fullback to get through, I'm handing off to the fullback after the snap of the football. Fullback was only a step or two behind me anyway in the wishbone. But if it wasn't there initially, then you fake the handoff, then you read the defensive end. And if the defensive end is crashing in on you and forcing you to make a decision, you're pitching. If the defensive end is hesitating, okay, and he's thinking about playing the pitch man, that's when you carry the ball and you run with it and you take it. It's very simple. You force the decision to be made by the defensive end. Now, it's up to the defense, of course, to be able to outguess you. And whether or not you have the pitch man and the quarterback and the dive all covered on the same play. The one thing that was most effective, I thought, that teams didn't really do a lot of was throw out of the wishbone, throw out of the triple option. And if you figure out a way effectively to throw the ball, and Tebow is the kind of guy that can do that, you know, then if you could throw the ball out of the wishbone, you've got a defensive back who's playing the pitch man, you've got a defensive end who's playing the quarterback, you got a linebacker who's frozen on your fullback, what's left? You got a wide receiver probably open over the middle of the field somewhere because everybody else is occupied. It was always a fourth option that I was always trying to figure out to utilize. Coaches didn't like me to, though. The coaches were always like, three things can happen when you pass, and two of them are bad. I'm like, but I want to throw the ball. No. Three things can happen, and two of them are bad. All right, whatever. So, and I didn't have an arm or anything, but I wanted to throw. Everybody wants to throw. Quarterback, you want to throw the ball. You don't just hand it off. So, that's an option offense. That's an option offense. And so, yeah, you'll have to go through, you know, some checks and make sure that you have assignments, and you've got to stay true to your assignment. You're going to have a tendency to want to play the ball, but you've got to stay true to your assignment if you're looking at it from a defensive point of view. We'll jump into this more in a couple of weeks. But that, in a nutshell, is you know, kind of what a triple option offense is all about. Edwin says, John, what do you think about the Colts firing the defensive coordinator Larry Coyer right before the Patriots game? Colts team is allowing a league worst almost 30 points per game. Also, what do you think about the Colts benching Curtis Painter for Dan Orlovsky? Edwin in Vegas. Yeah, Edwin, I mentioned off the top of the show that, you know, Coyer was gone. Orlovsky's going to get the call. You know, I could see Orlovsky getting the call because, quite frankly, what else? They don't have anything to lose. They're 0-11. Coyer getting the axe, probably a little bit more of a sacrificial lamb than anything else. I think they all realize in Indianapolis and probably around the NFL that it's certainly not his fault the team is 0-11, but I think they felt like the defense would have them in more games than they have been. As you already just pointed out, Edwin, a league worst 29.7 points per game allowed by the Colts. And so, Jim Caldwell, in his own, you know, self-preservation mode here, is, you know, well, we got to start making moves, and, you know, next season starts now. I'm sure he's had that discussion with all the higher-ups who are involved in making those discussions. Edwin also says, John, since you mentioned my other comment at the beginning of the show, throwing a curveball at you. Terrell Owens' agent, Drew Ozenhaus, seen on the Patriots sideline prior to the game against the Eagles. Nesson.com reported that, and while that doesn't necessarily mean there is a New England TO connection, Drew Ozenhaus noted on Sunday that one team, reportedly from the AFC, is very interested in the receiver. What do you think about this, since we've been shuffling around wideouts and yada yada? Okay, I also addressed this earlier, and I personally think they should go get it. I really do. It's not that I've really given up on Ocho Cinco, but right now I'm of the opinion, you know, we have what we have defensively. I'm not sure it gets appreciably better. It can get marginally better when you have healthy guys returned, but I'm not sure it gets appreciably better. And because of that, I think for the Patriots to have a chance to win, I think you've got to have a defense that can shut somebody down in the red zone and force field goals. I think you have to have somebody step up and make a play on third down and especially long situations to where a team doesn't continue to convert on you and drive the football on you. That would be important, you know, when you're playing teams like Green Bay and New Orleans if you get to that point in the Super Bowl. It'd be very important. But as long as you have a team that can at least get your offense back on the field, then once your offense is there, then you need to have every stinking weapon you can. And if you get that, whether it's T.O. or somebody else, but if you have a legitimate fourth option, or even fifth option, depending on if you're running, you know, the two tight end NP backfield set, then frankly, yeah, why not? They've proven they can do it, you know, with quote-unquote problem guys. They've also shown that if problem guys don't capitulate, then out they go, like Albert Haynesworth. So I don't have any problem with it. I have no problem with it whatsoever. Kat says, John, I forgot to ask you what you thought of Vereen so far. After the draft, I was very excited about him. Think there have been some flashes of potential there, but my nitpick from Sunday's game was the way they've tried to use him down the middle. He just doesn't seem like that type of a runner to me. I think he does better trying to get around the edge or catching out of the backfield. Honestly, Kat, I haven't seen enough because Vereen has been hurt. He got hurt very early in training camp with a hamstring, as you recall. And just haven't seen enough of him. I think they feel like he's one of those guys that as long as you need, as long as you hit a crease, he's the kind of guy that can bolt out of a trap situation on the offensive line. He may not be the edge guy. I think he did more of that at Cal, if I'm not mistaken. He was more of a between the tackles kind of guy where, you know, if you run a trap or a counter tray, where you've got, the offensive lineman creating opportunities there and you only need a little sliver of light. They feel like Vereen is that kind of guy that can take advantage of that. Whereas I think on the other end, the other guys they have are edge guys, not tackle guys. You know, I would say that Ben Jarvis is probably between the tackle guy. Vereen is probably a between the tackle guy. Anywho, just, again, based on the limited amount that I've seen, I think that's where they feel like he can be most effective. In fact, I think that's why they kept both of those, you know, rookie running backs in there, simply because they complemented each other rather than repeated or copied what each other did on the floor or field, whichever you prefer. I think that's why they kept them. Tony, via email, even including Denver, no team will beat the Pats for the balance of the regular season. Normally, I would have a fear of playing in Denver, mostly due to the well-documented issues the Patriots have had playing at Mile High. But one has to be able to complete the forward pass to beat the Pats, and Tebow most certainly cannot. So I agree with you, John. The team with the best shot at beating the Pats would be the Redskins. Road game against a pretty good defense and a QB in Rex Grossman that, while not very good, if he gets hot, can definitely complete enough passes against this secondary. Yeah. See, that's what, Tony, I think you maybe even said it a little bit better than I did. That's how I kind of look at it. I mean, Denver is relatively one-dimensional. It's a weird one-dimension when you're actually running a true option offense. But they can pull it off, and you have a week to game plan for it, and you know that the Patriots are probably still one of the most disciplined teams that are out there just because they've had it beaten into their heads, you know, like a drum for so long. Guys that have certainly been around the, in this program for a while. And the Patriots like to game plan against you to make you one-dimensional. So I'm sure that the Patriots will do whatever they can to stack eight in the box and say, all right, Tim, here you go. Beat us over the top. Test that quote-unquote weak secondary that we have. And if you can beat us throwing the ball, more power to you. That's what I think will probably happen. Denver will try to run. The Patriots will try to stuff. And Denver's going to have to throw the ball to beat New England. I think it's very simple. But, I you're playing in Denver. Traditionally, I don't know. I mean, every team has a bugaboo, right? Every team has an Achilles heel. They've got a place or a team or whatever that for no explained reason, it's inexplicable. They've always had trouble. And I think the Patriots have always had that problem in Miami until recently. And they've always had that problem in Denver. So a couple of weeks on down the road, I think could be problematic. Now, I will tell you this, that, you know, you're going to get to Washington first after this week against the Colts. And Washington is, if Rex Grossman does get a hot hand, can do some damage because they can rush the passer. So I think that's an issue that you have to look at. We're kind of jumping ahead here. It's not that I'm not giving due credit to the Colts. The Colts have struggled unlike anybody else in the league this year. It's not all on Peyton Manning's shoulders, which is why you saw the defensive coordinator get canned. And another reason why you're watching, you're going to see Dan Orlovsky allegedly get the start at quarterback, you know, for Curtis Painter this Sunday here in Foxborough. But next year has already arrived, and so it'll be interesting to see how the Colts play. I don't think that means they're going to lay down. Far from it. Nobody wants to go 0-16. You know, the Lions didn't want to go 0-16, what was it, in 07 when they did that? They didn't want to do that. They did because they were just god-awful. I don't think the Colts want to be mentioned in the same, you know, sentence as the Lions and the 76 Tampa Bay Bucks that were 0-14. I don't think they want to be mentioned in that realm, especially, you know, since they've won a Super Bowl in the last decade, more recently than that. And Peyton Manning is still on the team. You know, in 10, 15 years from now, they're going to see Peyton Manning played in that. Peyton Manning was on the team in that 2011 season when they went 0-16? What happened? Oh, he was hurt? Oh, see, but I mean, you know, I don't think anybody in that locker room, especially Manning, wants to see that team go 0-16. That's just something, that's an albatross you carry for the rest of your career. You carry that into your afterlife. Believe me, the Colts will be ready to play. The Patriots had best be on their best behavior. All right, let's sneak in another timeout here. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, email webradio@patriots.com. More emails to get to. Pete Shepard's coming up at the top of the hour right here after the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Tim sends this on Facebook, and he says, Orlovsky already carries that albatross once. He was the quarterback, of course, on that winless Lions team. Great point. I actually had that written down to talk about today and hadn't had a chance to get to it. And so, Tim, I'm glad you brought it up. No way does he want to go down in history of being the quarterback on two winless teams in different cities. Oh, man. That is so true. That is so true. That's got to be a theme for this week. I mean, Orlovsky, you know, I realize that, you know, he's not the second coming here, but still. Wow, can you imagine? He was the quarterback on that Lions team. That's right. All right, Tim also says, what do you think of Del Rio getting fired by Jacksonville the same day they give the GM a contract extension? Seems they're both to blame to me. They haven't exactly acquired much talent the last few seasons. Yeah, I thought that was kind of curious. I think that was ownership trying to, you know, assure someone that, you know, they would still have a job because a new owner is liable to bring in their own people. So my guess would be that, you know, what they did in that particular situation is they said, all right, you know, I'll sell you the team, but, you know, I really like this guy. I want to sign him to another contract. I think he deserves an opportunity here. And then maybe, you know, with your ideas and your money and you know, whatnot, maybe we can try to rebuild this thing and get back competitive again. I mean, the Jaguars have not been all that non-competitive this year. Different story. But they've certainly hovered around that competitive edge. And they do need a makeover. They do need a makeover. I don't have any real problems. I mean, the coach is the one, you know, that obviously is the focal point, but yeah, you got to bring in the talent to coach it up too. So it's curious, but somebody had to go. And so now they're going to allow the GM and the new owner, it would appear, provided that that's all in place, and I haven't read extensively on it yet, but they've got to allow those two to now collaborate on who they will bring in as a coach. For the long term, I would think. So that's really, I would imagine, how it's going to kind of play out in Jacksonville, Tim. Brian says, I'm definitely most concerned about the Dolphins. They've been playing extremely well, but I'm shocked that Matt Moore is getting the job done, but he is. You know, Miami, as a couple of our callers pointed out, Miami's won three in a row until they lost to Dallas on Thanksgiving, and it was a game that they flat out should have and probably even could have. Well, could have and probably even should have won. But they are 3-8. They are now out of it. They're only playing for pride. I'm sure they would love to knock the Patriots off. I just don't know that it happens on you know, January 1st. I just don't know that it happens. By the way, are there going to be some really hungover people at Gillette Stadium that day? Wow. How about that, huh? You think the tailgaters will be any less in the parking lots because of what, you know, people might have done the night before? Wow. I don't know. Brian, via the webmail, he says, John, glad you had a good holiday. I wanted to chime in on the Patriots-Eagles game. Once again, I will have to complain about our defense. I understand they did a good job of keeping McCoy in check, but overall I still think the D isn't progressing. I feel this defense needs a true test against top quarterbacks. Unfortunately, we won't be able to see that because the remaining teams on the schedule don't have the true top QB. Clearly, you saw Manning and Big Ben do their damage against us, and we need more of that in order to improve. I understand we're banged up, but regardless, you still have to play, and in the words of Belichick, do your job. Looking down the road, I think this will hurt us in the end if we can't make the correct adjustments or improvements.
Everybody just do your job!
That's really kind of all it boils down to, Brian. Do your job, you're fine. Tiff in Wisconsin says, I have a huge nitpick. Where was Taylor Price? Why isn't he being allowed to play? Other wideouts are allowed to come in and mess up like Ocho and Underwood. Nitpicking the fans. Fans need to pick their poison, just like our opponents. If a team believes that the Patriots' secondary is the weakness, they should exploit it. Why take credit away from the Patriots because McCoy didn't get enough touches? Why assume the game would have been a lot different if McCoy had more touches? Lots of teams benefit from an opponent making a calculation that didn't work out in the execution. Why begrudge our defense for containing McCoy by saying it was only because McCoy didn't get enough touches? How many defenses in the NFL do everything above average or great? It's always a chess match. You know, good points all there, Tiff. That's why I like your contributions to the show. I don't know that McCoy got enough touches. I think the Eagles thought that the Patriots would probably be stacked up in the box, and the Eagles thought that that might be the best way to beat the Patriots was for Young to go over the top. And that actually played into what the Patriots were kind of thinking they would do. Strange. Jack, hope you had a good holiday. I think the Dolphins will be the one game I worry about. They have been on a nothing-to-lose roll lately. With the competition in the AFC right now, the Fins could do some damage, and they know it. Sperano is trying to keep his job, and knocking off the Pats is one more feather in his cap. I just don't know that there's any way that he keeps his job after this year. I don't care if they win the rest of them and finish 8-8. I just don't think that there's any way. Nancy says, is it true about Owens, Terrell Owens may join the Pats? No, not yet, but the rumor is definitely out there. Not yet, but don't be surprised. John says, there wasn't a lot to complain about during Sunday's game outside of the typical slow start on offense, secondary getting picked on, which was my major nitpick, offensive line letting Brady get hit too many times. That was another nitpick I had. So, John, you and I are walking step in step today. Or perhaps it's just wrong that we've come to expect these factors. My big complaints are latest star of a Southwest Airlines commercial. Hey, Tyquan Underwood, want to get away? That's good. Where the hell is Taylor Price? How in the hell did Gostkowski miss that kick? Sebastian Vollmer needs to step the hell up or sit down and let Solder in. And fifth and most important, they did not bring back Ventrone this weekend. Picking on poor Ross Ventrone. That's just not right. Mark says, Patriots are 7-0, I believe, when they convert 50% or more of their third down conversions on offense. Do you think this would be much more difficult to accomplish against the Bronco D? Do you think they should look at Terrell Owens to come in and help out with the situation? Well, not to help out with that situation, but maybe for some other reasons. Mark says, I'm not seeing he's the answer to all their offensive problems, but he could help out on third down, maybe even first down, spreading the field. Yep, I don't disagree. Gene in Daytona. John, you're right. Taylor Price has never gotten a chance in the field to prove anything. So why should we be calling for him? You're right. He's a nobody from a small, unknown Ohio school, and BB doesn't know what he's doing when he picked him in the third round. We should just forget he ever existed. Make it easy for everyone. John, I heard BB listens to you guys once in a while. No, he doesn't.
He listens to me.
Oh, he's always listened to you, Pete. He's always listened to you.
He's supposed to come out with me at some point.
He will. Eventually. Eventually.
Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah, same to you, pal. Same to you. Hope you had a good holiday.
Yeah, I did torture myself by watching the Northern Iowa game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean,
well, it's just going to be that kind of a year, Pete.
No, so I know. I know. But it was just such ugly basketball.
Yeah.
But I felt bad for you, but you had a nice. You had, not. It's not like you were in. You know. Some horrible city.
No. I had, you know, it was that part of it. Was
I saw
really,
the Facebook pictures you posted. It looked like a, you know, pretty nice night.
Well, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was all right. We had a
worst
good weekend.
Places to be.
And then South Padre. Yeah. I totally agree with that one. All right. What are we talking about today?
Guy from Star Trek 2 now owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, Khan. Yeah. It's pretty good.
That's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite all-time movies.
Oh, it is. It's great. It's said in Seinfeld. It is the best of those movies.
Yeah.
No, I mean lots of. I just find it. I really am upset with a lot of. I'm upset with a lot of national and local media people around, who just seem like they cannot enjoy a win without going so over the top crazy about this, that, or the other thing. There's one thing to be critical, nitpick, whatever, and a lot of them are just criticisms and all that stuff. But I am just amazed at, and it's going to be just, they just don't watch enough football. Some of these media people who claim they do just don't, you know, and it's, I think they're ruining it for a lot of other people. They just can't get a grasp of what because they can't figure it out. And you can't figure out the NFL in general. Chris Moore said, you try to figure out this league, you're going to bang your head against the wall. I'm just amazed that people just can't enjoy a win without going so over the board one way or the other. You know, and I said this after the second loss. When I looked at the rest, and I said, I think they're going to run the table and go 13-3, which was my original prediction. Mm-hmm. I said, but here's what's going to happen. They're going to play all these crappy quarterbacks, and everybody is going to dismiss the wins and dismiss the fact that the defense is getting better because of all this other stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and there's something to, I mean, to dismiss it entirely is ridiculous. You have to consider who the Patriots have been playing on defense with fifth and sixth stringers, for crying out loud.
Right.
Some guys you never heard of. And you have to look at the rest of the league. I just think people are so focused on one team that they don't get it. They don't see the rest of the league. There's just none of these great defenses that people think are out there don't exist. I mean, Baltimore and San Francisco, yeah, okay. All right. But I don't know. I'd be shocked if any of those teams were in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. And you still need a balance. You need a balance.
Because they don't have the offense.
Denver's a joke. I don't care what anybody, it's a joke. I mean, it's just a matter of time. That's going to self-destruct. And it's just, I mean, there's a lot of teams that have issues, just like the Patriots have some issues, but so does everybody else. And I just, it's frustrating when people don't say that, when you don't see it.
I think Patriots fans are kind of warming up to that, to be honest with you. I think most of them are.
I think it's unfair to say, oh, okay, they should run the table the rest of the way, go 13-3. And, you know, but we'll see when they play a real team. I mean, what is that? And it's not fair to do that. And people constantly keep bringing up the last, you know, the Super Bowl and the Baltimore playoff game and the Jet playoff game.
Right.
All three of those games were very different in their own way. One had nothing to do with the other. Nothing to do with the other. All right. And I'm tired of people, though. They haven't won three playoff games in a row. And I keep telling people that Montana lost three playoff games in a row. One went on to win three other Super Bowls after that. I'm just tired of the black. It's pass or fail every week. You know?
That's exactly right.
We got to get some perspective. You got to get some perspective, not only on this team, on the league. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
No, that's all right. Pete's going to give you plenty of perspective coming up. We're going to end today's program with a bit from Bill Belichick from earlier today. So you can get caught up with the coach, and then Pete's going to take over.
Just the Lou Holtz speech.
And continue his rant.
To play yes. Navy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's coming up in same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, manana.
Apples here. I think there's certainly a lot of things that are familiar with this team, their schemes, and a lot of players that we saw from last year. Of course, there are a few new faces in there, too, for guys that we guys that we usually see a lot of that aren't in there as much for injury reasons or, you know, they're not on the team anymore. But it's still a, you know, very, very familiar scheme. They do a good job. They're well coached. I think, you know, their coaching staff does a good job of creating the same problems that they always create offensively with their no-huddle and check-with-me program and you know, a lot of hard guys to defend there. We're starting with Wayne. Having a good game and spreading the ball around, getting into the receivers, their tight ends, their backs well, changing the tempo on you. And then defensively, of course, the ends, Fafay, I think know, their young linebackers have done a good job too. Fingers really come on. He's done a real nice job for them. So they're an active, aggressive front that is quick and fast, very athletic, different than what we've seen from some other teams that, you know, are bigger, stronger type guys. These guys have real good movement. And the linebackers, you know, run well. So those are some of the things we, you know, we'll have to be ready for. Of course, they have, you know, a standing field goal, clutch kicker. And some of the things we got to be ready for here this week. But turn the page from Philadelphia, and we're looking at an offense that's dramatically different from the one we saw last week. So that'll be a challenge for us, you know, on the defensive side of the ball and offensively dealing with the, you know, the same kind of pass rush that we talked about last week. Same, you know, not the same, but similar. And zone team that mixes in a lot of man coverage and does a good job with their pre-snap disguises and things like that. We'll have to continue to do a good job with that.
Bill, I know he hasn't taken a whole lot of snaps in the league before this year, but what stands out for you about their quarterback, Curtis Painter?
Obviously a smart guy, because they do a lot of things offensively that we've seen him do in the past with Manning, as far as protection adjustments, route adjustments, the no huddle, the pace. They work at a very quick pace when they want to, and you can see him catching defenses not set and struggling to get their communication and all that type of thing. So he certainly does a good job of handling the offense. I think he, you know, can make a lot of throws that you want the quarterback to make down the field on the outside, reading his progression out based on coverage. So, you know, it's a guy that's pretty effective, and of course, Orlovsky has played in there as well. He's seen some action. He's another strong kid, that, you know, pocket-type quarterbacks that can read defenses and get the ball down the field or follow up the read progressions and take their second and third receivers. So they, you know, in the mold of what we've seen from the Colts in the past.
Bill, obviously a lot of focus on you know, them losing Peyton Manning and everything, but it seems your defense is at least statistically different from how it has been in the past. Could their offense, though, their sort of lack of offense, have contributed to maybe a defensive downturn, or are they doing something different defensively than they had in the past?
Well, I think one of the things that's different just watching them on film is, you know, in the past, so many times they're playing from ahead. I mean, you know, they've won a lot of games, and in the situationally, you know, third quarter, late in the third quarter, fourth quarter, you know, there's a huge difference between playing from ahead and playing from behind. And they won a lot of games and they played from ahead, and this year they haven't won a lot of games and they've been playing from behind in the fourth quarter, you know, in a number of games. So I don't think that's, you know, that's certainly going to affect the statistics and the way that the game situationally gets played out in the last quarter of, you know, some of their games, not all of them. They've had a lot of competitive games too. I'm not saying that, but there have been some games that are, you know, the score, you know, just overrides some of the schemes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really, they've been, I mean, other than the Houston game, the New Orleans game, obviously, the Atlanta game, I mean, they've been, you know, in a lot of competitive, tight games. Certainly, you know, the Pittsburgh game, Kansas City game, you know, we saw that one a couple weeks ago. Jacksonville, it was a big game. Tampa Bay, obviously. So, you know, there have been plenty of those, too. But in general, but, you know, that's part of the story.
Hey, Bill, did you have any reaction to Urban Meyer taking that Ohio State job? And you think he may be doing a little more scouting in Columbus over the next couple of years now?
Well, you know, I've upped my scouting schedule there with my daughter coaching at Ohio State, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it'll affect that too much. think I'll be out there, whether he's there or not. But no, honestly, I'm just trying to focus here on the Colts. And I know there's coaching changes at this time of year, and that's always part of it. But right now, I'm really trying to see if I can do a better job of getting their team ready to play the Colts.
Bill, is there any part of you that will miss not seeing Peyton Manning out there?
You know, we see that every week. Changes. We have players that I wish were playing for us. Other teams have players that I'm sure their teams wish were playing for them. That's football. You play with what you got. Games are scheduled to show up and play them. We all take on that responsibility at the beginning of the season. You never know how it's who's going to be there at what time or what week. And all of us have to make adjustments throughout the course of the season. So every team in the league is going through that. Plenty of guys that I wish we had out there on the field this Sunday that we won't have. I'm sure the Colts feel the same way. I'm sure Philadelphia felt the same way. It's the way it is every week.
Bill, I know the injury report doesn't come out till tomorrow at 4, but when it comes to your own condition, what do you say, probable with illness?
I'll be there. I probably won't even be on the report because I know I'll be there. I guess we had to list something to be compliant with less than 100%, then I'd be on the probable. Yeah, but I'll be there.
All right, thanks, Coach. We'll see you.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.